In place of the great Gildersleeve, usually heard at this time, we bring you the Jerry Lester Show with Ray Sinatra and his orchestra and Jerry Lester's special guest, Diana Barrymore.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The musical comedy Jackpot opened in Philadelphia last Tuesday, and here is Jerry Lester reading some fan mail from a few of the people who saw the show.
This one sounds good. Dear Jerry, I saw your performance last night, and you really worked like a horse. So how would you like to work for me? Signed, The Lone Ranger. Interesting. Now, let's see, here's another one. Dear Mr. Lester, I heard you sing in your show, and let me tell you, I'm glad I can't open my mouth. Signed, Laffy Smith. Oh, well. And, let's see, here's one from the mayor of Philadelphia. He says, I saw your show, and I think your performance was... I think that was nice of him. I'll try once more. Let's see. Oh, yes. Dear Mr. Lester, my whole family saw your show, and we feel that your acting brings people to their senses, especially their sense of smell. Fine thing. I've got a good mind...
Hello, Jerry. Hello.
Oh, hiya, Fred.
Say, Jerry, I went to Philadelphia to catch your show.
Oh, really? What did you think of me? Oh, you too, huh? Say, Fred, there's a cute little number in the show who promised to phone me.
Well, has she called you yet?
Yeah, everything.
Jerry, do you really think that she'll go out with you?
Oh, you bet. She even goes out with fellas with Confederate money.
Well, before I forget, Jerry, the director of your show has been waiting for you outside.
My director? Oh, gee, it must be important. Excuse me. Come on in, Mr. Harris.
Mr. Lester, there are two things I want to tell you. In the first place, keep away from the chorus girls' dressing room. You're making it a habit. And in the second place, I called a special meeting of the cast last night, and why didn't you show up?
Well, I had to sit up with a sick friend. He went for a walk yesterday and drank in the scenery.
Well, that wouldn't make him sick.
Yeah, but we walked around a brewery.
And another thing, you've been complaining you didn't have enough to do in the show, so I hired a girl to play love scenes with you. And all I've got to say is that as a lover, you rose to new depths.
Well, look at the girl you got to play opposite me. She's two heads bigger than me.
So what if she is two heads bigger than you?
Nothing, but they're both on the same body. I deserve a little more consideration, Mr. Harris. After all, I've played love scenes with the best. I was in Hedy Lamarr's last picture, and she was very happy.
But you weren't in Hedy Lamarr's last picture.
That's why she was very happy. Don't you see, Mr. Harris, I can't disappoint my public. I'm running around with the best circle in town.
You certainly are with that haircut.
That's beside the point. I'm an artist. I'm not somebody you can just push around. I'm not content in this show, and when I'm not content, I can't act. The Theater Guild has been thinking of hanging my picture in their gallery of great actors. But when they saw my performance, they decided hanging was too good for me.
Now see here, Mr.
You mustn't hinder me, Mr. Harris. You must encourage me. I'm standing on the threshold of a great career. My hands are outstretched for guidance and help. A great talent lies dormant in my heart, and it seeks expression. I want to give my all to the world. I have lived, and I have suffered. Indeed, I have suffered. Say, that ought to get me the Academy Award, huh?
Mr. Lester, I'm a very busy man.
My complaints are very simple, Mr. Harris. For instance, remember when you all came back to New York on the train?
Yes, and so did you.
I know, but everybody else was inside the train. I'm not accustomed to riding with my face so close to the rails. Couldn't sleep a wink. In fact, the bags under my eyes were so big, the porters put labels on them. Mr. Harris, don't you like me?
Well, I...
And when we got to New York, everybody took a taxi, but you put me in the subway. And you know I always get a stiff neck when I travel by subway.
Well, why don't you buy a paper of your own?
And one more thing, Mr. Harris. Why didn't you hire the leading lady I recommended?
You mean that girl with the blue and red complexion?
Oh, that blue and red complexion looks good on her. It matches her ration coupons. Tell the truth, wasn't she a lovely creature?
I've seen better creatures come out of a snake charmer's basket.
Look, Mr. Harris, I don't like to go over your head, but if you don't meet my requests, I'll be forced to go to Mr. Freely, the producer. He believes in me. He knows a good actor when he sees one. He's a brilliant man. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Harris. Hello? Oh, Mr. Freely. Gee, I'm glad you called. What? You want me to come back to Philadelphia immediately? But why? Oh, you'll tell me when I get there. Gee, you sound unhappy, Mr. Freely. Yeah, sure, I'll grab a train right away. I'm still in the show, ain't I? Okay, I won't ask any more questions. Now, don't do anything about me till I get there. You believe I'm a great actor, don't you? Hmm. Well, goodbye, Mr. Freely. That was Mr. Freely, Mr. Harris.
Yes, I gathered as much. And what did he say when you told him you were a great actor?
I don't know. The operator cut him off.
Holly sings, "Speak Low."
Speak low, friends, speak low. Our summer day withers away too soon, too soon. Speak low, when you speak low. Our moment is swift, like ships adrift, we're swept apart. Too soon. Speak low, darling, speak low. Love is a spark lost in the dark. Too soon, too soon. I see wherever I go that tomorrow is here, tomorrow is here, and always too soon. Time is so love is pure gold and time a thief. We're late, darling, we're late. The curtain descends, everything ends. Too soon, too soon I wait. Darling, I wait. Will you speak low to me? Speak low to me and soon.
Farnsworth. Farnsworth.
Just a moment, sir.
Look, Farnsworth, I can't hang around all day. I've got to get to Philadelphia. What are you doing?
I'm just setting a bear trap in back of the mouse trap, sir.
What for?
The janitor keeps stealing the trees.
Well, what of it? He leaves the brown points, doesn't he? Did you pack my grip?
Yes, sir. I packed your business suit, your dress suit, your sport suit, your evening suit, and your golf suit.
All in that one little bag?
Why not? It's the same suit.
Then how come you left my linens out? Let's see what you got in that bag. Wait, I'll open it. Oh, shucks, I forgot to turn off the burglar alarm. Now, let's see. Let's see what you've got in here. My toothbrush, shoe brush, clothes brush, hair brush. What do I need that for? There's no use packing useless things, Farnsworth, but you know very well how I brush my hair.
But there's no room for a lawnmower.
Oh, stop clowning, Farnsworth. Now, what's this vase doing in my...
Flowers the audience may throw at the end of the performance.
Oh, very thoughtful of you, Farnsworth. And what's this big pot for?
That's to cook the vegetables.
An awful lot of junk in this grip of mine. What are all these chocolate bars for?
Well, that's what you sell.
Oh, don't be smart, Farnsworth. You know I don't sell chocolate bars during intermission. I sell those little booklets. Now, what about my lunch? What did you pack?
Chicken.
Where is it?
Right here in this compartment.
Farnsworth, I said I wanted stuffed chicken.
I've been feeding it for a week. It ought to be stuffed by now.
Well, take it out. Just leave the eggs in there.
Yes, sir.
Now, are you sure the eggs are fresh?
Well, yes, sir. I was there when they were launched.
Oh, you've got an answer for everything. Come in.
Mr. Lester?
Yes?
I understand that you're in the market for some railroad tickets, correct?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am. I've tried all the depots.
Well, I'm just the man you're looking for. How about a nice scenic tour through Canada?
No, I just want one ticket to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Can you hunt geese in Philadelphia? Can you ski in Philadelphia? Can you climb mountains in Philadelphia?
No, but can you play jackpot in Canada?
Look, slot machines you can play anywhere, bud. Now, look, how about this all-expense tour with a side trip to Alaska, and from there...
Look, before you get me stuck in Siberia, all I want is one ticket to Philadelphia.
Stubborn, huh? All right, just happens that I got a ticket to Philadelphia. Well, I guess I'll have to sell it to you after all. Now, let's see. It's $4.40 for a ticket to Philadelphia. There's a few small service charges. 40 cents for my commission, 75 cents bonus for the engineer, 60 cents bonus for the fireman. We would not want him to be jealous, would we?
No.
No, that's a skirt. 40 cents for the home for old conductors, 32 cents for the Benevolent Association for broken down brakemen who've been on a bat. Let's see, that makes a grand total of, just let me work this out of my adding machine. $4.40, 60 cents, 75 cents, 40 cents, 32 cents, 50 cents. Total, $65.38. Now, do you want this ticket to Philadelphia?
No, but I'll buy that adding machine. Farnsworth, eject this gentleman.
Bravo, and I have a suggestion, sir. I was out with Dinah Barrymore's maid. And I understand Miss Barrymore should take the Philadelphia that she can't use.
Well, why didn't you say so, Farnsworth? I'll call her up right now. Yeah, hope she's still got the ticket.
What number are you calling?
Fairbanks 49970.
Fairfax?
No, Fairbanks. Banks, banks. Where do you put your money when you're afraid someone will steal it?
I cannot give out that information.
Look, operator, this is a very important call. I've got to get to Philadelphia, and the only one I know who has a ticket is Diana Barrymore.
Barry who?
More. More.
Deposit another 5 cents, please.
Okay, here.
Turtle, let me find two bears. Turtle, let me find two bears.
Hey, wait a minute. What's that?
You deposited a beer bottle top.
Oh, for goodness sake. Hey, Farnsworth, come here. Look, there's something about me that does something to telephone operators. Let's fool her. You get the number for me.
Oh, certainly, sir. Take your hand off the mouthpiece. Hello? Young lady, would you be kind enough to get me Fairbanks 49970?
Certainly. Here is your party.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Here you are, Mr. Lester.
Ah, we fooled her. Hello?
What number are you calling?
Oh.
Ray Sinatra at the piano. With his orchestra, he plays George Gershwin's Fascinating Rhythm.
Thank you.
Pardon me, clerk. Is Miss Diana Barrymore in?
Yes, but she doesn't wish to be disturbed.
Well, this is urgent. She's got a railroad ticket that she doesn't need, and I can use it.
Oh, well, I guess it's all right. Her room is 1506.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hotel Savoy Plotnik. Miss Diana Barrymore, one moment, please. I'll connect you.
Hello? Yes, this is Miss Barrymore speaking. About the bassinet? Oh, yes, I can explain it to you. My sister can't use this bassinet anymore, and she left it with me to give it to someone who can really use it. Yes, I know, bassinets are very hard to get these days. You're sending a man up to get it? Oh, that's probably him now. Goodbye. Come in.
Oh, hello, Diane.
Jerry Lester. Say, I had no idea you wanted it.
Oh, yeah, I need it very badly. I've been trying to get one all over town.
Well, I've got it here for you. My sister can't use it, and certainly I can't use it. Tell me, Jerry, who's it for?
Me.
Why, Jerry, congratulations. Have a cigar. Well,
thanks. I guess you've seen the notices in the paper, huh?
No, but I'm very happy for you.
Well, thanks again. I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't helped me out with this thing. I tried to get one all over town. Well, can I have it now? I've got to get to Philadelphia.
Sure, but how are you going to carry it?
Oh, in my vest pocket or stick it in my hat band?
That I gotta see. You're really celebrating, aren't you?
Oh, no more than usual.
Oh, you mean this isn't the first one?
Oh, no. 1 year I had three of them.
Three in 1 year?
Yeah, it was a bad year for me. And the following year, there was one I didn't even bring into town. I left it in Pittsburgh.
You left it in Pittsburgh, just like that?
Yeah, when they're bad, I don't want to have anything to do with them. This one didn't get any laughs. People threw tomatoes at it.
Threw tomatoes at it? Why didn't you call the police?
Well, the police took a look at it one night and made me leave town.
Oh, you poor boy. Well, I'm glad you have a new one now. Okay, I better give you what you came for.
Yeah, otherwise I can't get to Philadelphia.
What do you mean?
Well, as soon as I get on the train, the conductor will want to punch it.
Look, if he does, you punch him right back.
Oh, don't be silly. That's his job.
Look, it's none of my business, Jerry, but why do you have to go to Philadelphia?
Well, it's going to be there for 3 weeks. We want to see how the public likes it.
Well, I guess you know what you're doing. It's your baby.
Oh, it's not really mine. It's Mr. Friedley's.
Mr. Friedley's?
Yeah, it was his idea.
But I thought it was yours.
Oh, no. All I did was advise him to go ahead with it.
Oh, then you better give that cigar to Mr. Friedley. What's the name of it?
Jackpot.
What's a peculiar name, Jackpot Friedley? Is it male or female?
Both. And 20,000 people have already seen it.
I don't doubt it from your description. I'd like to see it myself.
Oh, you will. Wait till we bring it into New York. So far, it's only been running for 4 weeks.
Running for 4 weeks? How old is it?
4 weeks.
Oh, come now, Jerry.
I expect it to run for at least a year.
And then what?
We'll pack it in mothballs and put it in storage.
Pack it in mothballs? Now I know why they ran you out of Pittsburgh.
Oh, don't worry. Nobody's going to run me out of town with this one. It's a beauty.
Oh, I bet it's a cute little thing. Was it tough to get clothes for it?
Nah. We got all the clothes for it we needed. Why, every night I make 16 changes.
I'll bet. Well, you better get started, Jerry. Here's the bathinet.
Bathinet?
Yes. You're taking it to Philadelphia with you, aren't you?
Well, it's an idea. Might be tough getting sleeping accommodation. I might be able to curl up in it.
Oh, you big oaf. That's for the baby.
What baby?
Jackpot Friedley.
Look, things are a little mixed up here, I think. Friedley has no baby. He has a show called Jackpot, which I'm in. And that's why I came to you, to get a ticket to Philadelphia. And you hand me a bathinet and tell me to give the show a bath.
Oh, for goodness sake. Of course you can have my ticket. And I hope the show's a big hit.
Oh, thanks a scad. And you know, you could help me a lot. I mean, you know, coming from a great theatrical family like the Barrymores, you could give me some good tips on acting. Did you ever see me on the stage, Diane?
Yes, several times.
What did you think of me?
Any other questions?
Oh, Di, I'm not that bad. Why, the last show I was in, the audience sat glued to their seats.
Really? How did you do it?
I put glue on their seats.
Really, Jerry, I'm not one to give you tips on acting. You can learn a lot more by studying my Uncle Lionel.
I know. I once spent a weekend with Lionel. I can just see him now coming down to breakfast.
Good morning, Uncle Lionel.
Ah! I've seen mornings in my time. You know, I think I'm the only guy in show business that can't do Lionel Barrymore. Some were good and some were bad. But of all the mornings I've seen, this one is without a doubt the losiest. That whippersnapper singing in the shower.
Why, Uncle Lionel, that's our weekend guest, Jerry Lester.
Well, feed him and send him back to his gopher hole.
You sound very grouchy this morning, Uncle Lionel.
Why shouldn't I be? The Marx brothers are living with us. With the conditions the way they are today. Have you seen this morning's paper?
Not yet. Bad news?
Horrible. Smiling Jack's in the hospital.
Well, don't worry, Uncle. He'll be out soon.
Who's worrying about him? I want another look at his wife, Joy, in a sarong. I sounded like Rooney there for a minute.
Oh, look, come on, forget about it, Uncle Lionel. Sit down and have your breakfast of bacon and eggs, griddle cakes, and delicious coffee.
Bacon and eggs. Bah! Griddle cakes. Bah! Hmm? That little goon. It's tough playing nine parts here. He's always getting in my way. He came. Hope I have an easier character next week. He came over to the studio yesterday while I was making a picture, and he... and he ruined my big scene. There I was as Dr. Gillespie... There I was as Dr. Gillespie performing an emergency operation on the roof of a building. And just as I was about to make the incision, what do you think he yelled?
What?
Stop that lancing up there.
Thank you.
Mystery Broadcast is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.